And now our regular guest Joan Lewis is back with a look at Pope Benedict's activities over the past 7 days, beginning with the so-called Bishop Williamson affair, sparked by the lifting of the excommunication of 4 bishops of the Society of St. Pius X.
Just to recap very, very briefly for somebody listening who for whatever reason may not be up to snuff on this, on January 24th, the Vatican published the lifting of a decree, lifting the excommunication on 4 bishops who were ordained by traditionalist Archbishop Lefebvre for the Society of St. Pius X. This was not done with the papal mandate, so it is considered illicit. And in 1988, Lefebvre, who has since died, and these 4 bishops were excommunicated. Okay, in the lifting of the excommunication, what came to the surface was that one of the 4 bishops, a British bishop, Richard Williamson, Bishop Williamson, has come out with astonishing, senseless, so many adjectives have been used, statements really denying not so much the existence, but almost, of the Shoah, but just denying the extent, and actually very few people died, and there were no gas chambers and so forth. So he has been taken to task for his statements, but more than that, Pope Benedict has been taken to task for lifting the excommunication. So just by way of background, many people all over the world, Catholics and Jews and German chancellor, that's the Pope's country, Germany, German Chancellor Merkel, has come out with a please give us an explanation of why you did this. And I think our listeners need to know that in Germany it is a crime to deny the Holocaust. And so all these things have just kind of, you know, the pot has started to boil over, and the Vatican did come out with a statement that appeared on the front page of the Osservatore Romano, just a note, not a name, but a note from the Secretariat of State. And I think what's important to notice, and it came out a day after, as a matter of fact, Father Lombardi had made a statement on basically, you know, the Pope's position on the Holocaust could not be clearer. His horror of what happened, his closeness to our Jewish brothers who, as he said, received the First Covenant, his solidarity with Jews, the number of times he's visited synagogues and so forth.
And there have been a number of statements. That wasn't Father Lombardi's first statement. He made similar declarations to the press, and as you say, the Pope himself had made that very strong statement at his Wednesday audience just after this controversy broke.
Oh, exactly. The Wednesday audience of January 28th. The Pope made 3 very clear statements on 3 very clear issues, and I mean, you would have to be literally stone deaf, tone deaf, whatever, to have not understood what the Pope was saying and where he stands as far as Jews go and the Holocaust. So the controversy just did not go away. The media reports, as you mentioned in the beginning, you know, just multiplied. So in a 24-hour period, we had another statement, a further statement from Father Lombardi, and then this note from the Secretariat of State. And it's divided really into 3 parts, and they've got it in bold print. The first part regards the lifting of the excommunication and why the Pope did this. They briefly tell the story I just did a minute ago of these bishops having been excommunicated in 1988. And then it said the Pope wanted to remove an impediment to opening the door to further dialogue. That is a phrase in the statement. And so by removing the excommunication, you're now creating, you're taking the first step on what's going to be, as we all know, a very long path, because there is so much denial by these bishops of Vatican Council II, of the magisterium, of all the popes, starting with John the 23rd and with our current, with obviously Benedict the 16th. So they go into the reasons for raising the excommunication. And then the second part of this note is entitled Tradition, Doctrine, and Vatican Council II, and basically says what I just said. Now, for a future recognition of the Society of Pius X, an indispensable condition is full recognition of Vatican Council II and the magisterium of all the popes that since then. And the third part is perhaps the longest, and it is called Declaration on the Shoah, another name, as we know, for Holocaust. And it begins by saying, and this is not, again, the first time. The positions of Monsignor Williamson on the show are absolutely unacceptable and firmly denied by the Holy Father, not accepted by the Holy Father. And the important thing is, not only the comments in this note about the Shoah, the Vatican's very clear, the Catholic Church is very clear, the Pope's very clear position on the Shoah, but it says Bishop Williamson, I'm just translating right here from the Italian, for a admission to full episcopal functions in the church must publicly and unequivocally distance himself from the positions that he has stated on the Shoah. So that's the condition they pose. He has to recant his positions and his statements on the Shoah.
And it does seem, I've read a few things since then, it does seem to be that the heads of Jewish organizations are saying this goes a long way. This is the kind of statement they were waiting for. It may, in fact, lead to a healing of these tensions and a resolution of this crisis.
Well, that's good. If this is the first step to healing any wounds between Catholics and Jews, then obviously that was a step well taken.
In the meantime, Cardinal Walter Kasper, of course, heads the Vatican's Commission for Relations with Jews, was also involved in relations with the Orthodox world over this past week. He was in Moscow for the enthronement.
For Patriarch Kirill, yes.
Exactly, the new Russian Orthodox leader.
And matter of fact, the election on January 27th and then the enthronement on, I think it was Sunday, February 1st, was a very big news here. You had the Holy Father sending a message of congratulations the day that he, Kirill, was elected as patriarch. He was the Metropolitan of Smolensk. And then you had a very high-placed Vatican delegation attending the enthronement in Moscow. And then you had another message from the Holy Father. And the Holy Father also sent a lovely chalice, is my understanding, to the patriarch. Now, there are about 165 million Russian Orthodox. And as we know from previous shows we've done, the various Orthodox churches all have their own leader. There are minorities, of course. Catholics are among the minorities present in Russia, and Catholics are only 6/10 of 1% of the population. But I know the Holy Father's concern, Pope Benedict's concern, is precisely that of his predecessor John Paul II, and that is to Christian unity. I mean, just in those two words alone, Christian unity, because you give a much better message when you are united, not when you are divided. And those concerns were expressed in the messages, obviously, that Pope Benedict sent to the Patriarch, the two recent messages that he sent.
Meanwhile, on the Sunday that the enthronement was going on in Moscow, Pope Benedict was making a very strong appeal here for one of the stories that's been hitting the Italian headlines every day for weeks now, and that is this young lady, Eluana Englaro, who has been in a persistent vegetative state for so many years,
right,
and the debate over whether she should be allowed to die, whether her feeding tube can be removed.
And she is now 38. She was in a car accident which brought her to this state when she was, I think, 21 or 22. For 15 of the 17 years that she's been in this vegetative state, there's an order of nuns in northern Italy that has been taking care of her. Her father has fought a battle for 10 years to remove her feeding tubes. He finally got a go-ahead from the highest court in Italy. And, of course, there's many organizations that are fighting this. And literally, as you and I are talking right now, I mean, things are practically changing by the hour. In her case, she was moved from the care of the nuns, who, by the way, do want to become her official
guardians,
exactly. And so she's been removed from their care, brought to a clinic which apparently will cooperate with the father in removing the tubes. Government action on this, as I said, literally an hour from now, things could change. So there's no bottom line to this story as we speak. But it's very important for Italians. They're considering on whether or not to have a bill about allowing people to have living wills. The Catholic Church has obviously its certain position on that. It depends obviously on the elements that go into a bill on the living will, because you might designate someone, as you can in the United States, as your caregiver with the specific instructions. I could do that with my sister, with specific instructions that if anything were to happen to me, that I be cared for in the way that the Catholic Church allows.
Very much an ongoing story, as I said, here in Italy. Just time to take a look at one other event here in the week. Pope Benedict receiving bishops from Turkey here in Rome on their ad limina visit, and of course looking back to his own visit to Turkey not so long ago, but some interesting comments there.
Oh, we were there for that. And what is interesting is that, of course, Christians are a minuscule portion. Turkey is a secular government, but it is Muslim, and 98-99% Muslim. And the thing is, there's just so many problems for non-Muslim religious groups and their status with the state. And the Pope asked that the state provide effective guarantees so that all citizens, he's telling this to the bishops, and obviously that when the word gets out, it's going to be more than the bishops that hear something like this, but he says it's up to the state to provide effective guarantees so that all citizens and religious communities may enjoy freedom of worship, making any violence against believers, whatever their religion, unacceptable. And he said he hopes that obviously a very sincere open dialogue can be created with the authorities. And you've got huge problems and had them for the longest time. The Orthodox Church there has it, a recognition of the juridical status of the Catholic Church and her property. And, of course, as the Pope said, if you had talks in this direction, arriving at this recognition, that would be positive for everyone. And he himself made a suggestion. He suggested forming a bilateral commission for permanent contacts.
So again, interesting to see if that suggestion is followed up upon.
Sure.
For the moment, Joan, thank you very much for being with us once again on the program.
See you next week.
Thanks there to Joan Lewis, taking a look back at events here in the Vatican over the past week.